If you would, please turn to Acts chapter 14. All those questions that we came up with, I think this was originally on Wednesday nights, and then we had some others added. I think Julia was doing great work trying to keep up, typing all the questions on. They've been kind of consolidated into 15 groups. Now, one group may have one question, it may have a question with two or three sub-questions, okay? So we divided it up around six or seven of the men to come and look and say, okay, here's the question that came from the congregation, someone in the congregation. Let's look in God's Word and see what God's Word says about it. So the questions that I have, and this will probably take us a couple weeks, I don't know. The first question is, how does God work through us to choose elders? And that's what we'll primarily be looking at today. The second group of questions I have is, what does it mean to manage one's household well? And two sub-questions, what does the husband of one wife mean? And what does a one-woman man look like? Okay. And then the third group, the last group that I have, is when does a person's offspring transfer from being a child to an adult? And the one sub-question, what is the responsibility of parents with adult children outside the household? Okay. And yes, these are questions 6, 7, and 8 on the list of 15. Jeff? Okay. So Jeff's going to copy all these questions so we know what's coming and put them on the foyer for everyone. No, these were right. It's all the same questions, but they're consolidated. Tom, like the.
I understand, but people need to know because now we have two different.
Right.
Out there,
so we need to get this list out because this is the one that the consolidated list. Good point, Tom. Thank you. And that's what Jeff is going to do. Okay. Agree. Okay. And we'll have copies on the foyer for people to grab. Okay. So this first question, if y'all want to copy it down since I don't have handouts, I apologize. How does God work through us to choose the elders? Okay. So the way I want to attack this, looking at Scripture, is three areas. The first one's the biggest, and just looking at, try to find, are there examples, are there precedents within the Word of God? And then the second thing is God working through us through His Spirit, the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. And the third is through prayer. Okay? So that's the three kind of groups of Scriptures that my intent is for us to look at. If you have other thoughts, questions as we're going through this, please, this is not a lecture, this is a discussion among us as we, like the Bereans, try to look at God's Word and find out what does He tell us to answer these questions. Make sense? Everybody good? Okay. So, I only found two examples of actually appointing elders in the New Testament. If somebody finds another one, chime in and we'll go look at that. The first is in Acts chapter 14. Verse 23. Who's got Acts chapter 14, verse 23? Dustin, would you read that, please?
When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and would fast, they condemned them to the Lord whom they had believed.
Okay. So who appointed the elders in this case? Yeah, Paul and Barnabas. So Paul, definitely an apostle, Barnabas, evangelist, minister. I'm not sure if he was an apostle because I don't think he was a witness with Jesus growing up, but still definitely a missionary, evangelist. And if you want to know the where, if you go back to verse 21, they had returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So Lystra and Iconium are kind of in the central of present-day Turkey, and that's the area where Timothy was from. And Antioch is down in a little province called the Hatay province. It's like a thumb that sticks out of Turkey right at the extreme northeast corner of the Mediterranean Sea. And it goes down, it's surrounded by Syria, and then connects There's actually something called the Syrian Gate. I only know that because I actually got to go there. It's kind of neat. And we went to Antioch. I'm going to tell a little story, Herman. You've inspired me. This was so neat. I spent 5 months in Incirlik Air Base, Turkey, for Operation Northern Watch right after September 11th, 2001. Got to go on the Seven Churches of Asia tour. Ephesus was just incredible. Got to go up to, I can't even remember, Cappadocia. Okay, and we went down to Antioch, and I never made it to Tarsus. That was the closest. It was only 30 minutes away. Never made it to Tarsus. But we went down to Antioch, and you had to go through the Syrian Gate, which is up on a high mountain pass. Very easy to defend because it's a really narrow area. And then you come down into the rest of the Hatay province, and Antioch is down there. And we were trying to find a meeting place of the early church. And we had a map. It was not a good map. Okay. We almost ended up in Syria. This was not good because it was two Air Force intelligence officers and an Army intelligence officer. That would not have been a good thing. So when we realized, we're not where we need to be, we hightailed it back to town and found it just on the edge of town. But it was a cave where Christians had worshipped in the first century and actually had a tunnel out the back where if people came to give them problems, they could escape. But there was a Eastern Orthodox, Greek Orthodox church building that we found, and we went in, and there were men there fellowshipping, and the kids were together doing something in another area, and we were trying to communicate. Well, we didn't speak Turkish, and they didn't speak English, so we connected in German. And the man that we were talking with, because lots of German tourists go to Turkey, the man we were talking with drew a map of the Hatay province. And he showed the different cities and put the number of Christians in each congregation of those different cities. And this is an extremely Muslim area, right? You got Islam everywhere, and yet God's church was still there. You know, that's where Peter, if you look at church tradition, was a shepherd there in Antioch. So that was, okay, sorry. We digress. But that was neat, trying to go through, we ended up through a third language that neither of us knew really well, and were able to communicate, and then he drew that. So, sorry we got off. But, so this is the first example. The second example that I found is in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, which I think we've looked at. Who's got that? Go ahead, Eric. Thank you.
For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city in my command.
So Crete is a pretty large island in the eastern Mediterranean, and the whole point of Paul sending Titus was to appoint elders. Okay. Next thing we're going to look at is how they replaced Judas in the apostles. Okay. But can anybody else, of any other situation in the New Testament where elders were being appointed or installed? Because those are the only two places I could find. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 1. Any thoughts, questions, comments? Okay. Question, is praying and fasting required?
I'll pray, and I know if fasting or what we read here, or if we need a lot of time.
So, in my reading of the New Testament, my understanding is that fasting is a spiritual discipline. What happens when you fast? What does it take? Self-discipline. Okay, so just like if somebody's going to train for the Olympics, right, whatever their sport is, They're going to have self-discipline to train in how they eat, how they practice, their sleeping, what they consume. Okay. My understanding, and you almost always see prayer and fasting together in the New Testament, we tend to focus more on potlucks than fasting. But fasting is very much a spiritual discipline that I believe pushes you to rely on God, because we don't have the discipline in and of ourselves to do it. And the result is prayer, that we are crying out to God. And I think it helps us focus on our need for God. And whatever the situation is, it says, God, I'm seeking your guidance, your wisdom, more than food, more than physical nourishment. I want spiritual nourishment. And I think that's a way that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But Jesus very clearly says, when you do this, this is a private matter between you and God. If you're fasting, you still take a shower, do your hair, put on your perfume. People shouldn't be able to tell, like with the Pharisees, with your visage, oh, I'm fasting, you know. And it's interesting because I spent 2 years in Saudi Arabia, so I went through Ramadan 2 different times. And there are a lot of irritable Muslims during the daylight hours of Ramadan, because you can't eat from sunup to sundown. And then they feast, you know, pig out after sundown. Herman and then Wyan.
I wanted to give an example in my life of fasting. I, for many years, directed youth camp. And I would lose about 10 pounds a week because, believe it or not, I would forget to eat. I was so intensely involved in what I was doing that was foremost in my mind. And so that is a way of fasting. Food, the food was good. I didn't get to it because I was busy with the work I was doing.
Well, and I can relate to that, Herman, because this was our first full week with our students, and our Lamont and Warrensburg cadets started coming. There were 2 days this week I almost forgot to go to lunch.
Right.
In fact, one day I did. I just worked through lunch and then had to eat in my office.
I believe that's so. Fasting. I think in the truth is that it's fasting. I realize there was a ritual in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, but it had to do with the culture, and the culture we live in. We need to understand that fasting can be what we're talking about.
Right. And my understanding is that the type of fasting that Jesus promoted was, it's something between you and God.
Amen.
It's a very, yes, very personal and intimate thing between you and God. Yeah. You got YN, Buckley, and Cope.
Yeah.
24 hours.
It does get specific or not. You know, you may have a crazy schedule. So I know that you're hard, and you know what you need to do in relation to them.
Yeah.
So don't feel like, oh, I got it in 3 days.
But almost always it's seeking God's wisdom and guidance, and prayer is going to accompany fasting. Tom, did I see your hand? Oh, go ahead, Kay. Yes. There's nothing that is commanded in the New Testament that says this is how you fast, other than Jesus saying, don't make a public show of it. You're not doing it in front of other people. Okay? And there's... Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have a question. I just want to make a comment.
Yeah. There's different kinds of fasting as well. Sometimes, you know, you drink water and just don't eat food. In my study, and I could be wrong, jump in if y'all know it, there's two miraculous fastings that I find in Scripture. One is Jesus 40 days before being tempted by Satan, where it was no food or water. And the other is Abraham on Mount Sinai for 40 days with God, being in the presence of God. So, does anybody know of any other times that went extremely long like that? Okay. But yes, I think if you go and do a word search and look up fasting, it's going to almost always be married with prayer. Yeah. Thanks. So, Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. This is after Judas has taken his own life after betraying Jesus. And these are the remaining 11 apostles are together. So Acts chapter 1. Verses 21 through 26. Who'd like to read that? Go ahead, Renee. Okay, so the apostles are together, and I believe it's Peter that's speaking here. Yes, starting in verse 20. It says, therefore it's necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So a witness of Jesus' ministry, beginning from John's baptism, so John the Baptist's ministry, to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. Okay. So that was the criteria. It has to be someone who has been a witness from the beginning all the way through to the resurrection and saw Jesus resurrected. They proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they did what? No. What did they do before they cast lots? They prayed. It wasn't the casting lots. The casting lots was just a method, right? Whether that was drawing straws, throwing dice, rocks, whatever they cast lots, it was praying to God, you please make the decision. This was methodology. Exactly. Yes. It wasn't going to Vegas and playing roulette or the slots or whatever. Okay. It was just a method of God, please show us. Which I think is our intent through this process. God, if we are supposed to have elder shepherds at this time, would you please guide us through your spirit as to who that should be? Right? But biblically here, they cast lots after praying. Okay. The praying has come first for God to direct and show us. Right? But it's just a method. Make sense? Any other thoughts, comments on that? We had some friends who shared a story with us. We went to Harding with them. And they were trying to decide where they should go. And they've been praying and they've been fasting. And there was an opportunity for them to go and do mission work in Minnesota. And they prayed about it. And they looked at this scripture and they said, we're going to cast lots. God, would you please show us? Right? And they rolled dice. And it was go to Minnesota. They did it like 10 times. And it was the same result every time. So, just sharing what happened in their lives. Okay. Any other thoughts, comments, questions? So the next thing, if we continue on in Acts and flip over to chapter 6, a need arises for service within the church. Right? We've got elders in Jerusalem. Elders, yes we do. We have widows in Jerusalem, and there's a daily distribution of food to take care of their physical needs. Right? And there's a problem. Okay. So if somebody would read Acts 6, verses 1 through 6, please. Who's got that? Go ahead, Kay. Charge of distributing the food. Do you think it was Jewish Christians or Greek Christians? What do you think? Probably Jewish Christians, right? You think anybody had any struggles after growing up their whole lives of being taught that Gentiles are unclean? I mean, did every Hebrew Christian experience what Peter experienced in Joppa when he went to Cornelius and God shows him this miraculous dream? And then pours out the Spirit on Cornelius and his family as they are preaching to them. Okay, and even Peter struggled later on because when some Jewish Christians, Hebrew Christians come to meet him, he pulls away from the Gentiles, and who has to rebuke him? Paul. So even Peter, who had all this miraculous and was sent by God to take the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time, struggled. So how much more would normal Hebrew Christians, who their whole life have been taught that Gentiles are unclean and they're not to have anything to do with them? Okay. So you can see where this comes from, right? Culturally. Okay? If you notice all those names, they're all Greek names. So they chose Greek Christians, one of whom had even been a proselyte to Judaism, the last one, from Antioch. What was his name? Yeah. Nicholas. Okay? He had actually become a Jew before he became a Christian. But he was a Greek from Antioch, which the other town we were just talking about. Okay? Which were Paul and Barnabas were sent out from Antioch on their missionary journey. So, let's look at what did the apostles say? Did they say, this is not important? Did they say, don't bother us with trivial matters? No. But what did they say? This is an important work, but not what we as apostles should be doing. Right? We shouldn't be waiting tables based on what the role that God has given us. Okay? So as leaders, they say, do what? Find what kind of men? Two things. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. And where does that wisdom come from? God's Spirit. Okay? Now, who came up with the names? Was it the apostles? Yeah, look in verse 5. Thank you. It's on the wrong page. This proposal pleased the whole group. What do other translations say? Whole congregation? Okay. The whole multitude. And they chose. Here's the seven. Okay. Which is exactly what we are trying to do here. The whole congregation have an input on who do we think would be good to shepherd us. Okay. We're trying to follow this example. Now, who appointed them? Who did the appointing in this case? The apostles appointed them, okay?
After
praying. And they laid their hands on. Which, you can lay hands on for a lot of different reasons in the New Testament. There's three or four reasons. One is to commission someone to do a work. You can do it to transfer the Holy Spirit. There's different things.
Right.
Exactly.
Deacon,
yes.
The apostles were
That's
taking
right.
over the duties of the elders.
Right.
So you must separate those two. Don't track and bind.
No.
It does not work. Well, we're picking up elders.
Agreed.
Agreed. So let's be careful to separate.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, Johnny. I had right here in my notes. The word here is deacon, doulos. It can be translated deacon, minister, servant, even slave. But it's the same word that we see in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 when talking about deacons. Same task. Under the authority of the apostles. Exactly, John. Okay. But this is just another situation where, in Scripture, where people were being appointed. Totally agree. It was the apostles doing the appointing. Any other thoughts, questions, clarifications? Thanks, John. But again, full of the Spirit and wisdom, and there was input from the whole congregation, and then the apostles did the appointing. Okay. Next thing we'll look at is, again, a decision-making process. Okay, let's go to Acts chapter 15. This is the Council of Jerusalem, and it's going to involve the apostles, the leaders. So the problem that arose where there were some Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians who were teaching, in order to follow Jesus, you have to follow the law of Moses. You can't separate the two. And this was in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas had a dispute with them. Okay, so they go back to Jerusalem to figure out what should we do. So beginning in verse 22 of chapter 15. When the apostles and elders, with the whole church, decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, they chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. With them they sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. Now, obviously, this is not a situation where you're appointing elders, but when there was an issue that came to the church, okay, and there is a discussion, the apostles, the elders, and the whole church came together to make the decision that in order for us to share what we have discussed and what we think the Holy Spirit is guiding us to, we don't want to just send this letter. We want to send men who were here, first-hand account, right? Not hearsay, but men who were here as we were going through this. Then when we send the letter, if there are questions, not only are they witnesses to it and our representatives, okay, they can answer questions as to how did we come up with this process. Okay? Again, this is not appointing elders, but on behalf of the apostles and the elders, these two men and the letter were sent with Paul and Barnabas. Okay? Just throwing that in there as a way of how were the, you know, when you came up with an issue, how were you to deal with it? And again, the lead was the apostles and the elders. Then with the whole congregation, who are we going to send? Yes, exactly. Johnny said this is a case of the elders settling a dispute within the church. And that's why I wanted us to look at that as well. Okay. All right, let's see if we got time. The New International Version, the older New International Version. Yeah. Did you have something different?
Well, just verse 24, it actually says that the actual New King James Version, it actually talks about what the issue was.
In which version? In what verse? I'm sorry.
24.
Would you read your verse 24?
That we have heard that some of you went out from us troubled with you with some words, unsettling your souls. You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we give no such command.
Right. And if we'd read the whole chapter, if you go back to chapter 15, verse 1, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were preaching, teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So you're exactly right. That was the issue. They're saying you must be circumcised to be saved in Christ. Thank you. And here it just said, troubling your minds by what they said, as opposed to the actual words. Thanks, Tom. That's good clarification. Any other thoughts, questions, ideas on that? Okay. Don't want to jump into that next. Go. Yeah. So next week, I've got some scriptures looking at how to deal with false teaching within the church, and then looking at God's Spirit within us and how it guides us, and prayer. Okay? To finish on this question, and if we get through all that, we'll go to the next set of questions, and I apologize, we'll have a copy for everybody of the full list of questions no later than next week. Tom?
As well, for David, for everybody who's here and those who are not, Christ, you pass the promise to them. These are being recorded. So you can
online.
So if you're not here, you can go out and listen to what you said. It's a little hard sometimes. You have to turn your body way up for somebody who is not at the mic. But you can hear. My mom listens to this. You know, she does not come to this church
let's finish with a word of prayer, and the lesson will be yours. And if anybody's got any questions or whatever through the week, feel free to let me know. If you've got scriptures you'd like us to look at, you think of other examples that I don't bring up, please do so. Okay? I do not pretend to... I'm not God. Let's pray.